Today we have a second part of our Brahmachari seminar, and I thought we should do it like this. I would talk a little bit on physical, mental and verbal Brahmacharya, and then open the forum for questions. I want to request you to go into this seminar with an open mind and with a trusting heart, so that you can ask also questions in this direction. I myself am practicing Brahmacharya since 35 years, and I do believe that there may be some realizations over all these years which might benefit you. So I will only talk briefly, just so that something is in our minds, and that we have a basis from which we can proceed. But then I would be very, very happy if you can be actively involved in the seminar by asking your questions. It's very nice to be in this house. It is so much like a house in the forest, isn't it? Like the original Gurukul schools were, where Brahmacharis would learn. So we have an ideal situation. Hopefully you're not tired from it. And as we said yesterday, the idea of Brahmachari, the Brahmachari ashram, is really to have a maximum amount of concentration on the spiritual development, which is so important in our lives. And this culture of Brahmachari life should therefore be a culture which extends to all areas of our personality. See, there's one thing you must know. It's a hidden secret of spiritual life, but it is something which is very important. Whatever you do not engage in Krishna's service will engage you in Maya's service. It is like this. If you have an intelligence and you don't engage it in Krishna's service, the intelligence will pull you in the material direction. If you have emotions, but you do not spiritualize the emotions, you feel then you will feel for material things. Even devotees have understood in their lives that when they have, for instance, an artful inclination, that they are little artists, artistical, and they do not engage that in spiritual life, then that inclination will pull them towards the material world. They will like to see maybe movies or theater presentation, etc., etc. So it is really an interesting phenomena that if you don't engage something in Krishna's service, this something will engage you in Maya's service. A good Vaishnava friend of mine once visited a Christian seminary. Do you know what is a Christian seminary? It's like a school for priests. And these priests had asked him to give a presentation on Krishna consciousness, and afterwards they were impressed and became a little bit, I should say, personal with my friend, and asked him, "Tell us one thing, how can you observe celibacy. It's so hard on us. Most of us really only want one thing in their lives. That is to take a girl out on Friday nights and press our lips against her lips. That is really what we want. Hare Krishna. How can you follow your life and celibate life? Now, my friend has noticed that all the time in the Christian seminary, in the eating department, in eating room, the one-eyed guru spoke. That's the one-eyed guru. One-eyed guru means TV, correct. The TV instructed them made an atmosphere of, I do not know, an American TV. Maybe you see some movies, maybe you see some advertisement, maybe you see some not appropriately dressed ladies. For sure, you will have the whole material world coming through. That's where the material world leaked into the Christian seminary. Yes. They had not engaged their ideas to hear new stories, you know, from in the spiritual way, and therefore they turned to the television to hear new stories. But whatever is there in your lives, my dear brahmacharis, if you don't engage it in Krishna service, that will engage you in Maya service. And once you give Maya the little finger, she will take the whole hand. In other words, once you allow the material energy to enter into your mind and into your life, she will expand and take more than you initially were prepared to give. This is a rule in Maya. So, therefore today I want to give you some ideas how you can engage body, words and minds in Krishna service. I wish I would have all my notes with me. The notes of a seminar which I gave in Switzerland, I think Keshava Acharya was there. We had rented a hut. It's not more than a hut. It was a nice place actually in the Swiss mountains, isn't it? You were there, I remember. And we invited all the brahmacharis for 3 days into the mountains. It had a quite full program, isn't it? There was a lot of lectures and so on. And so here I will just tell you a little bit what I some short points from the seminar, which I hope will be of use for you. What do you think is the most important practice? Brahmacharya in body, brahmacharya in words, and brahmacharya in mind. Please give me your estimation. In mind. Why do you think like this, Joe?
I think what's in the mind can it will manifest as your words and as your activities of the body. Whereas mm-hmm. mind won't manifest.
So Joe thinks brahmacharya and mind is most important, because whatever you have in your mind will manifest both in words and in physical activities. Mm-hmm. Everyone here feels like that? Okay, it's time for an experiment. Please fold your arms. You will see this is very important. You will not forget. Please find out in which position you feel most comfortable. Is it that the left hand goes over the right Yakya Purusha, please help me with some of the words. Oberarm, upper arm, yeah? Or is it that the left hand goes over the, no, the right hand goes over the left upper arm? Please find a position which is most suitable. It's all right, Keshava Acharya? Feels good. Now, the next part of the experiment comes. Go in the other way. In other words, if your left arm is over the right upper arm, you should change the position. How does that feel? Strange. Huh?
Not that much different. There's a difference, but it's okay, but it's...
It's okay, but there is a difference.
It's a little different.
A little different. How do you explain the feeling
it's
of the...
Because... that's all the muscles, that's the memory in the muscles is such that that's, it's something new.
Something new.
It's a fresh information.
Fresh information. Thank you. Please now go in the normal position and hear what this crazy experiment has to do with the Brahmachari seminar. We are all people who have habits. And whenever we break the habit, we either feel strange, most of us feel strange, or it's just a different than we are programmed. So, Brahmacharya is something which most of us don't have in their habits. And when we practice it, there is an initial discomfort to be expected because we break an old habit, that is to live in a culture which is clearly oriented towards material life and not towards spiritual life. And that means it's oriented towards sense gratification or not sense control or self-realization. So, this is very important to note. The moment you break a habit, you will feel an initial difference, and most of the time it's considered to be a little strange, a little unusual, a little different, a little whatever. We will now do a second exercise. Our question which we want to analyze is, what do you think is most important, mental or physical brahmachari? Most people believe, like you have said, that what is in the mind comes into the body, and they are right. But is this the only truth? Is, in other words, your mood or your inner attitude the only thing which describes your physical reality or your reality in life? Now we will enter a second experiment. I would like you to fold the arms again in which way it is most comfortable. For this you will have to be a little subtle and put your hands, your head up, as if you are a little arrogant. I don't know who is Napoleon, maybe, like Napoleon. And don't exaggerate it, because no arrogant man will walk like this. They will walk a little like this, I suppose. Try to feel whatever you feel, huh? moment I feel only the birds. So, all right, thank you. Now take your hands like this, fold them to your heart, and in a gesture of humility, bend your head down. Thank you. Now come back in the normal position and answer my question. Was there a difference in feeling? You could feel? Who could speak about this? Muli Manohar?
First I felt in the arrogant posture.
Yeah.
I felt like I'm the controller of the room.
Control. Yeah.
In the second I felt like more like a servant.
More like a servant. You felt like. Any other research experiment at Advaita Acharya, Prabhu?
The first one was like I was demanding, in the posture of demanding.
Mm-hmm.
I demand something. And the second one was, it was like a request.
It was like a request. Mm-hmm. Anyone? First, I felt like I was demanding something, or demanding in American English, and the other was more, I felt more like requesting. Mm-hmm. Any other of you? Johannes, did you have some feelings?
Yeah, I totally agree to
Totally like Molly.
Best control, and I'm more feeling like a servant.
Feeling more like a servant. Under Johannes, no? I don't know if you know, but Johannes is the nephew of Yagya Purusha. That means Yagya Purusha is the uncle. Kann man so sagen, ne? So this, what did the second experiment have to do with the Brahmachari seminar? It told you how, with a purely physical thing, a mood comes. You can't say that only the mind creates your reality. What you do with your body will also, it works the other way around. In other words, what you do with your body also creates a certain reality. This is the whole idea of sadhana, of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, as you find it described in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There, some physical exercises are given. You know, bow down to the deities, sing in the kirtan, clap in your hands, etc. And it is presupposed or assumed that by doing this, you will develop bhakti in your heart, which is a loving feeling of service to Krishna.
There's a famous story, I don't know if you wanted to get into this, but Gaga Muni Prabhu, mm-hmm. 26th Second Avenue, came to Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada, you know, I don't feel like bowing down every time, you know, I'm going to come to the temple room. I never fall with bowing down. I don't even feel like. Prabhupada said, just bow down anyway, and the feeling will come.
Yeah. Bow down anyway and the feeling will come. This is the idea of Rupa Goswami, and put in a very practical and very concrete way. Prabhupada was also asked sometimes when there was this question, how to become humble, and the answer was given, you become humble by acting humble. Same with enthusiasm. How to become enthusiastic? You will become enthusiastic by acting enthusiastic. Both is necessary. Mm-hmm. Both is necessary. Therefore, I will start today not with the mind. Ordinary in my seminars, because I do feel that ISKCON is sometimes a little external, I start with the mind, but because I want to make the devotees aware that they really need to go a little bit deeper to have a fulfilling spiritual life. But I will today, because you are very deep devotees, and I don't think I have to teach you this point, I will start with the body. How can we form a nice culture which will help our brahmachari ideals with the body? We always hear that the body responds very nice to regulation. A regulated life keeps the influences of rajas and tamas quite at bay. You do things in a regulated way. Regulated eating habits, for instance, are very often influencing our mind in a sattvic way. Regulated sleep is influencing our mind in a sattvic way. Regulated everything regulated is very, very useful for developing spiritual sattva guna. There is, how can you tell me, however, if there could be a disadvantage in regulated life? Yeah.
Becoming very mechanical.
One could become very mechanical.
One can be not able to recognize the need that is there besides regulation, but there might be a need that you don't recognize.
Yeah, which is outside of our normal life. Yes, we may be insensitive, really, and do not get the point of everything. We are just in our regulated life, and we don't see if there is a need which arises outside of what we normally do. And I have often seen that happening.
Mm-hmm. We don't do sleep sometimes, and it may lead us to become proud.
We might become too strict and develop pride. Mm-hmm. In a brahmachari life, regulation is always stressed because of its very, very good effect on the mind. But as you have a regulated life, you must see that you are perceptive to the real life, and don't become imperceptive and fanatical even. You must be careful, because everything you do in the world has two sides, a good one and a bad side, and a disadvantage side. Something which helps us to live brahmacharya life, where we do something on the bodily platform, is something which will surprise you. Health. I will say it again, health. Did you notice that Srila Prabhupada signed his letter in a very, very specific way? I hope this meets you in good health. Many people who put different emphases know that the way you sign your letters really sends a last strong message to the person who receives the letter. I have thought for many, many years about what I write, and I write always all the best and lots of spiritual strengths, Sachinandan Swami. Because this describes what I really feel is most important for the person. When we got a letter by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we would always find something with love. No? With love. That is what he was really all about. No? Prabhupada wrote, I hope this keeps you in good health. It seems to be important. It's not unimportant. In Russia, Moscow, we have a very interesting
Hello,
you are new Vrindavan at the moment. We have a very interesting experiment in the Brahmachari ashram. We have about 50 Brahmacharis who live in one house outside, newly constructed house outside the city, not in the city, and they perform yoga exercises between 6 and 7 o'clock. 7:15 is deity greeting. So why? Because His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj has seen that many brahmacharis have not such good health, and therefore they are mentally not strong. Therefore their semen goes out in the night more than necessary. Therefore they are sometimes irritable and so on, and unconcentrated and constantly asleep during lectures times. Even if they are half awake, they only get half of the points. That is an experiment. I'm not encouraging now all of you to do this. It is something where he wants to see how to make our Brahmachari ashram stronger. And the experiments are just experiments. You try something for some time and see what is the result. I personally want to encourage you, if you want a Brahmachari life, to think a little bit of your health in the body. I see this with my older god brothers who are often very ill due to over exertion, and they tell me that the illness they feel in the body sometimes it takes energy from them to deal with them. I will only say this much here. So my tip to you is think that you live a healthy life. Don't eat too much sweets because it's unhealthy. Don't overeat and do all these. Try to live a sane and healthy life. That is very good. Don't overeat also. I will go today during the festival of inspiration to the Brahmacharis, when we will eat in the evening, and I will control your plates. Don't worry, I'm not like this. You need to control your plates. No one else can do that for you. When we are young, we can eat a little bit more. Today is a festival, don't worry. I'm just saying, in general, please think about a healthy life. And you will see it does influence the mind. It does influence your overall performance very, very much. I want to now come to Brahmacharya in words. Do you know when you speak prajalpa or material talk, what is the immediate result? The immediate result is that by your talk, certain thought waves are created. They are called vritti in Sanskrit. So if a Brahmachari wants to be a Brahmachari, he must avoid this type of talk which creates bad vrittis, bad thought waves. Of all types of prajalpa, it's analyzed in the scripture, there is one type which is the versus type of prajalpa. Can you imagine what this could be?
Blasphemy?
Blasphemy or criticizing others? Yes, this is you. You found it. This is the versus type of prajalpa, which creates so many bad thought waves. Our Keshava Acharya has personal experience of one place where there's so much criticism going on. You can never ever get anything good by talking about evil. The evil which you are rebelling against, when you talk about it, will at length will start to possess you and haunt you. It's even said that the unintelligent person criticizes the wise man and takes part of his karma by this criticism. In other words, whatever is bad in the wise man goes over the bridge of the criticism in him, in the criticizer. Amazing, isn't it? There's a karmic exchange when you talk bad.
Maharaj, does that mean we should be happy when somebody is criticizing us?
I don't know how advanced you are, Advaitacharya, but Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur described his critic to be his best friend. On this reason, that he takes my car, whatever is there, he takes. He's my friend. There was, in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's time, there was this man who would travel after, who would come at his lecture tour, and after each lecture he said, he does not know, he has not observed this Shastic quotation, he is not good. The disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur were very upset. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, no, he is my friend. And when this man died, by the way, he died a natural death. It's not that the disciples did something. When this rascal died, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was genuinely showing his concern. Don't criticize. Of course, now we are in a movement, and the movement means there are human strengths and human weaknesses. If there's something wrong, this must be corrected. I think it's clear that there is need, and when a devotee does something wrong, he should be corrected in what he does. I feel that it's necessary to say. But I'm just now wanting to say why it's not good to criticize unnecessarily. You take karma by this. Your words should. Once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received a Brahmana who cried before him and said, my dear Lord, I have criticized Vaishnavas. I thought there is no Vaishnava in this world. And I have also criticized the chanting of the holy name. I thought that's not a good practice. Now, what should I do? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this famous answer. When you drink poison with your mouth, then this poison will eat away all the strengths in the body. To cure, do something. The same mouth which has criticized Vaishnavas should bring tremendous suffering to a person. Now the same mouth should be engaged in praising Vaishnavas. Have you ever praised Vaishnavas? You feel very encouraged when you do it, when you talk well. It's just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when someone has drunk poison through his mouth, what should he do? The same mouth should be engaged in drinking nectar. a nice point, isn't it? Same mouth with which we have criticized Vaishnavas and drunk poison should now be engaged in drinking nectar by praising the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. But especially your words should be engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness, singing, chanting japa free from offenses, and producing spiritual sound vibration. In the ancient Brahmacharya ashrams, the students would all be engaged in reciting hymns each morning for a few hours, because that gets in the mind and positively vibrates through your mind. It's also nice when Brahmachari sit together and read to each other from the scriptures out loud. It's very good practice. It engages the words in the proper way and spiritualizes them. I will now come to Brahmacharya in the mind. Then I will open the forum for your sacred questions. I think you all know Prabhupada's story about the two brahmanas who were on a walk. These brahmanas were living as brahmacharis, and they arrived while they were on sacred pilgrimage on the bank of one river. There was a beautiful lady. The sun was just setting. The lady wanted to cross the river very badly. However, in order to cross the river, she would have to lift her sari up. And there were many men she did not know, and she felt uncomfortable. Maybe if she goes like this, one man will see one woman leg and go wild, you know. So she was just staying there. And finally, these two brahmanas came, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I need to cross this river. Can one of you please carry me over the river?"
The old one was very strict. He didn't even look in her direction.
Where the young men said, "Komm Huckepack." This means climb on my back. Komm Huckepack. I think from that vibration you can understand what it means. Sometimes nice to take words from different languages who have the sound of what is meant. Yeah. Come on my back, you know, like horseback riding. So she did this. The young Brahmachari Brahmana carried her over the river, and on the other side he put her down and politely said goodbye, and then they continued to walk. They walked late into the night. After 5 hours of walking, the older Brahmana said, "What? You have dared to touch a woman? What brahmachari are you? You have violated your sacred ashram." The young brahmana was severely attacked, actually. The old man started to preach, "Better if you give up your brahmachari ashram. You're not competent." Finally he said, "I carried her for 5 minutes, but you are carrying her already for 5 hours. Hare Krishna. Good answer, isn't it? This is about mental brahmachari. We must be absolutely clear that we do not enjoy secret woman cinema in our mind. Too many of us allow the secret woman cinema to go on in our mind. We don't go to the cinema. No. But we always look the secret mind cinema from morning to evening because we think no one sees it. By the way, everyone can see it in your face when you do the mind cinema. But we think no one sees it. I can think whatever I want. No one can enter into my mind. This is not meant what Brahmachari should do. If you allow the secret woman cinema in your mind, then you will have the woman drama in your life. I begin to speak in English. This is the point. Yes, but Maharaj, but what to do with attachments? Oh, Krishna. In Brahmacharya life, if you want to know Brahmacharya life, is there two ways to deal with attachment. One is the push way and one is the pull way. Let us start with the push way to deal with attachment. When you have attachments, you train your mind to see the woman first as someone who could be dangerous to your spiritual life. Could entangle you. That's called the cobra bath. No one will live with a cobra in the room. It's too dangerous. In the same way, someone who is a monk will develop in relationship to the opposite sex a cobra bath. But this won't last you very long because, again, when you have a cobra in your room, you most probably think all day of the cobra. So if you think women are dangerous, you will think all day about women. Ah, dangerous, dangerous. It's the same thing as thinking, how nice. The woman is in the mind. The material object is in the mind. So you must come to the next stage where you see the women at least as mothers. No man will develop sexual attachments to the mother. The moment we see the mother, here is where my attachments have to stop. Civilized man, at least. So we see the women as highly respectable persons. It says, when a man says to a woman, Mataji, Mataji means mother, Dharma has heard that statement. Dharma has heard that statement. Oh, he's, and you know, when you protect, when you do something which is dharmic, then Dharma will come to your aid. Huh? Try to see women as respectable people, persons. That's the second stage of Brahmachari life in relation to women. You can push your mind to this. But the ultimate and most successful level is see the women as atmas, as souls, or better even as servants of Krishna. They are not for you, they are for Krishna. This is the Atma Bhav. So we have the Cobra Bhav, the Mataji Bhav, and the Atma Bhav. These are three high successive states of dealing with it. But I would, this is important, sometimes we have to push our minds in certain directions. But even more valuable than this is the pulling method. You allow Lord Krishna to pull your mind towards him. You fill your mind, thank you, you fill your mind with Krishna thoughts. Therefore, a brahmachari absolutely needs to read and study and fill his mind with spiritual literature. It's so important that our Prabhu has confirmed this two times with a very melodious Hachi. Yes. This is very important that you have some spiritual thought in your mind and allow how Krishna pulls your mind. When you feel inclined towards the material energy, you must, my dear devotees, know it's time to think about Krishna. It's time to put Krishna in your life. Maybe some deity worship. Maybe more lit reading. Maybe a pilgrimage. It's time to put Krishna in the mind. This is the pulling. Krishna has that. He is called Manohar. He steals the mind. And Manasa Chandra Chakora. Just like the Chakora is drawn to the moon, the mind is naturally drawn towards Krishna. Krishna pulls the mind. That is his quality. So that is the best for Brahmacharya. Pulling method. Pushing. Bhakti Charu Maharaj always says, how long can you hold a hand like this? Maybe 15 minutes. And then there's a spasm. And you need to go like this. But you can always park the hand like this. Little park. Little relaxed. You can have it the whole day like this. So if you push yourself all this, it is sometimes necessary and must be done, but ultimately you have to allow your mind to be pulled by Lord Krishna. I have one last point which I want to talk about, but it might come up in the question and answer session, which has started this minute. Therefore I will wait if it comes up. If it does not come up, I will say it to you. Do you have some questions about any area of Brahmachari life? Murli Manohara.
I said, sir, how much influence has the karma of the body out of being successful in Brahmachari ashram? How much influence has the body or the tendencies?
Yeah. That's a very honest question, a very sincere question. How much influence does our body have on our Brahmacharya ashram? I believe it's obvious to you that some people who were lady men in their lives before Krishna consciousness and had the karma to just mix with women unrestrictedly will face more difficulties in Brahmacharya ashram than those who have an ascetic body and an ascetic disposition from the beginning of their life. And those who have a very sensual disposition, which is a result of karma, will maybe find it more difficult. Now, in spiritual psychology, there is another point which we all need to consider. I believe by our karma, most of the people, modern men, are ladies' men. It's there in the astrology, most. There are very few brahmacharis, lifelong brahmacharis. Brahmachari, for some time, there are many. It's good for many. But for a life, it's not so common nowadays. We also have statistical experiences which prove this. Still, some of us might feel, although I may have not the ideal prerequisites for brahmachari life. I had experience with the opposite sex before Krishna consciousness. Or in general, I'm a little bit inclined in this direction. Some of us might feel, I really want to have some good time in my life in the brahmachari ashram, because I want to make a spiritual basis for my life. So what to tell to these devotees? You must know that the intelligence can control the mind. Mind means emotions and the senses. But only if one condition is fulfilled. It's not that always the intelligence controls the mind and the emotions and the senses. Only an intelligence which is in contact with the soul, Vaishraddha, means faith in Krishna, is able to work on the spiritual platform. The intelligence which is not in contact with the soul, because there is a lack of Shraddha, cannot control the material influences. So you can be a brahmachari because you understand it has an advantage, even though you may not be physically, and this means karmically, well equipped, if your intelligence is in contact with the soul by means of Shraddha. I had to think very much about this in my life. I'm coming from a family of non-brahmacharis, you know. I have that family in the genetic codex and so on. And I very much like what the, you know, we do have as Westerners these unfortunate sanskaras. They are also there. So what are our chances? Our chances are if we contact with the spiritual level through Shraddha, and then it is possible. If you want to stabilize your intelligence in Brahmacharya, I read yesterday a little, and those who, to you, ah, here it is. There is this amazing, I would say, part in the Bhagavatam where you really, after reading it, lose all your taste for non-brahmachari life. It's like a cold bath, you know. And some of the scriptures, especially the Bhagavatam, are really helping us in these cold baths by telling us. They do this by a psychology which Narada Muni has explained very nice. If you want to become free from lusty attachments, you must think about the disadvantages of lusty pursuits. I always tell the devotees in Germany, zu Ende denken bitte. Zu Ende denken. Think this to the end and then see if you would like to go in this direction. And here's something. It's chapter 19 of the ninth chapter. It's about how King Jayati achieves liberation. There's an allegory of the he and she goat. The advanced spiritualist is uninterested in sex. And there is another chapter in this, the same canto. It's really far out. It's the chapter 14, King Pururava enchanted by Uvasi. Babu, you may drink some water if that is... Even from water? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Good. Then No problem. This chapter must be read with together with the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, which is called the Aila Gita. Aila Gita. Oh, so good. You know, King Pururava had become crazy in his attachment to Vashi, but then was awakened to good sense and sang a song about the Maya of female companionship. That is called the Aila Gita. But this is again the pushing way. Better you think much about Krishna and allow it that Krishna pulls you. There was once Mr. Ralph Emerson. Have you heard about him? He is an American writer. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote him or sent him his book, English book. And Mr. Emerson lived in the forest like this, and he had one cow and a calf, and whenever it became dark, the calf would be brought into the barn, because there are wild animals in the forest, and the calf needed protection. So once Mr. Emerson personally did it, he wanted to bring the calf in the barn, but the calf didn't want to go. The calf went with its four legs like this. Mr. Emerson pushed it. But it couldn't be pushed any longer. The legs just dug its way in the ground. Then the Polish housemaid, Polish maid, had seen from the window how this famous author was unable to control the calf. And then she went out and said, "You don't know." She put her finger in a little milk, some little milk, put the finger in the calf's mouth, and then went with the finger. And the calf was so much pulled by its taste buds that it went in the barn. So this is how to deal with the mind. When we push it, sometimes it becomes stur, you know, it becomes stubborn and doesn't want to move any longer.
No!
I guess. But if we allow Krishna to pull the mind, it works very nice. Theek hai? Good. Any other question? Now the questions come. I saw Joe first, then I saw our Yuga Kishore Prabhu, and here I saw your good name?
Balaji.
Very good name. And Vyasasuno Prabhu. Okay, so Joe.
Maharaj, I heard it said before that a friendship can go much deeper than a relationship between a man and a woman. So sometimes it doesn't seem so obvious, because you think, generally, we think a relationship between a man and a woman is very intimate. But I wonder if you could say something about that, why a relationship between brahmacharis could actually go deeper than a relationship.
I will repeat the question for all these recording devices. I have heard that a friendship between brahmacharis can go deeper and be more fulfilling than a friendship with a woman. But it doesn't always seem like this, because friendships between men and women can be very intimate, very close also. There are different levels of friendship. And Lord Krishna talks about them in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Adveshta means non-enviousness. That's the minimum which must be there in the friendship. You're not envious of what the friend does. Not that he does, oh, he's more successful, oh, therefore you feel some bad feeling, oh, he's more so successful, how sad, he has a higher position than me, how sad and frustrating. This is, no, friendship's not. Then Maitra means a type of friendship where a closeness is there, even something like kindred spirit, one says in American English, isn't it? One has, in Sanskrit we would say svajatiya, no? One has same interests. And then the higher dimension, it goes even deeper, is karuna. You feel actually for your friend. Karuna usually means compassion, but it means in our, you want to do something for the welfare of this person, no? And this is very, very deep when you arrive there. So this is the road to deep friendship. First, Advaishta, free from enviousness. You are genuinely, you should be happy with your friend's success. Maitra, a closeness of hearts. And finally, compassion, in the sense of you really want to benefit that person. Try to practice this in relationships, and you will see that the relationships will get a very deep level of commitment. There are very, very deep and close relationships to women also, where this is also there. But in all relationships to women, there is always one disadvantage which keeps the thing from not going so deep, and that is a sensual interest. First, it's a romantic. Oh, that to be, women are so different, and it inspires the mind. Yagya Purusha, you are fighting a heroic fight. Möchtest du dich vielleicht einen Augenblick da oben hinlegen? Man geht schon, ja. There is always, and you can't bring it out, that desire of sense gratification, because it's just so deep, the attachment. And that friendship should be selfless, no? If you come to the selfless level, then you can go become very deep. It becomes very pure. It becomes close to sattva guna, and then even to spiritual. It becomes something spiritual. The world is my will should happen, my desire. The spiritual world means your desire should happen, Krishna. You can't extricate this selfishness which comes from lust from a man to woman relationship. It's not possible to do it entirely. You might say, well, there are examples of Clara, who was a good friend of Saint Franciscus of Assisi. But the Rasa Shastras say it can't be there. That's why, you know, the relationship between the gopis to Krishna is really the most sublime relationship, because there is not a tinge of selfishness and selfish concern. It has nothing to do what goes on in this world as sexuality, because there must be selfishness in sexual or romantic relationship. Doesn't work any other way. So our next devotee was, please tell me your good name again. Yugal Kishore Prabhu. Yes, please. Even on the computer it happens. Yes. Okay, so Yugal Kishore Prabhu's first question was that yesterday, that was not my statement. I read this from Srila Prabhupada's purport. It was said that if you don't enjoy in young age, you will take this enjoyment spirit in the old age with you. So Yuga Kishore says, I have come to Brahmachari life and I follow it, but what, maybe it's better if a young man should first enjoy his everything and then in old age he's peaceful and can pursue spiritual life. It was my intention yesterday to raise this question in you, and I'm sorry that I've brought you a sleepless night, but it's necessary for each one to think about this. What do you all think about this statement? Can I hear from you? Is it not dangerous now for a young man, you know? Now it's they just keep, no, he is strong-minded, with a strong body, so he says, no, I'm a brahmachari. But then later when he is old, then it all comes and, you know, this swami fell down, that swami fell down. When do we ever wake up and finally kick out the brahmachari ashram? What do you think about this? So our Yuga Kishore is answering to the challenge. The challenge is, by the way, I always hear that sometimes devotees don't listen very carefully to the tapes. It's not that I'm saying this is what I think. I'm just challenging now something so that you can think about an answer, because you will be challenged like this. It will come. Someone will talk to you. Maybe your own mind will talk to you. So it's good to now deal with this. We are in the family. It's a safe area. So let us not run away from such a disturbing question. Yuga Kishore has said that, answered that if you are in spiritual life, you can conquer these urges by spiritual strengths. And that was the essence what you said, I believe. I'm thinking about my own answer, so I'm only half here. Good. What else? Yagya Purusha. I think it's an interesting point to look at. You remember the history. We will give Yagya Purusha to formulate his answer a little time. You remember the context, that Yadu, Maharaj Yadu, was approached by his father, who had been cursed to become an old man with second chin, and he was approached, please give me your youth in exchange for my old age, which I have now. Yadu said, no, because it's better to do the sensual activities when we are young, then we are in old age, don't have this any longer in our minds, and we are peaceful. He even said it's better for devotional service like this. So Yadu is not someone, Yadu is someone, anyone. Yadu is, after all, in his dynasty, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared. He is telling something which we have to give due consideration. Yagya Purusha Prabhu. I want to thank you very much, Yagya Purusha Prabhu, for telling something very important to this question. I want to take two points out of what Yagya Purusha said, that obviously there are different devotees with different developments. Some are very suited for lifelong brahmachari life, others are just doing it more like a student who has maybe 5 years university student life, you know? the Brahmachari ashram historically was always equipped for these two possibilities. You know, there was always there were Brahmacharis who just stayed Brahmachari for the time when they were in the Gurukul. I even know the shloka which the Guru said to those Brahmacharis who left towards the Grihastha ashram. They said, "My dear disciple, do not forget the world is always a painful place." Guru Maharaj would say to them, "Don't forget, don't forget what you learned here about the spiritual world. It's a very important training place, but yes, some would go through the experience of Grihastha life." That option is always there. Now, but there is also a second option, and I think you were more concerned with the second option in your question, and that is what to do when all of a sudden these desires, which you think were overcome, they open their ugly heads, they come from down. and look at you. What to do at that time? Well, there are desires which do need to be acted upon, and there are desires which absolutely do not need to be acted upon. In each one, even a great saint, lusty thoughts of women can arise. But the great saint stops these thoughts when at a certain gate. There are three gates of perception. Something comes in. The first is thinking. You think about something. The next gate is you feel for that. The third gate is you will it. These are the three functions of the mind: thinking, feeling, and willing. So, but a person, a saint, may think of a non-brahmachari life, and he may feel for that also, how nice it would be. But he uses his intelligence so that he does not will it, he doesn't want it. So there are two types of desires. One you might need to eventually act upon, and the other you can just you don't need to be you don't need to act upon. Which one is which is often when you have when this comes up, these desires, then you do need to talk with good friends about your case or a person you trust. I just had a discussion with a very nice brahmachari who felt momentarily overwhelmed by the desires for female company, and I could see that first of all it was not the time, it was not the right person he had in mind, and then we had a serious talk, and after the talk I asked him how was it helpful what I said to you, and the brahmachari thought for a little bit more about it, and then he said, "Yes, very helpful. I do not intend to pursue this desire any longer. I do not intend to pursue it." This comes when you have a person you can trust, and you can discuss with him. Yeah? The thinking and feeling are always coming. Don't worry, as long as you have a material mind. But you must know at the gate of willing what should be done. And this decision, what should be done, is clearly a decision which the informed intelligence has to make. Are you a lifelong brahmachari, or are you a long-term brahmachari, or not, that has to be seen and discussed maybe with others. But just the fact that some disturbing thought enters you doesn't mean you must now change that your ashram. Yeah, that can happen. And I understand now. In old age, our Yuga Kishore's main point was not yet answered. In old age, he is concerned the senses do become weak and we might not be able to fight any longer so strongly. Yes, but in old age, it is supposed that another department becomes extremely strong. That's the mind. And the intelligence. They are supposed to become spiritually strong. And then, you know, the strength goes from one department to the other. The body may be weak, but if you have properly developed your life, your spiritual intelligence and your spiritual strength is stronger. And I think we all know good examples of persons who are very strong, although physically they may be having the signs of old age. Please see in your life that there is, when you become physically weaker, that there is a transferal of the strength from the fragile body to the mind and intelligence. That's very important. And you see many of our devotees who are physically now not so strong any longer, we can see. But when we look at them, we have the feeling, wow, they're very strong. I know that one could answer this question on other levels. If you will allow me, however, I would like to go to the other questions, Yuga Kishore Prabhu. You allow me. Good. That was our Balaji Prabhu. Balaji from Tirupati? Originally not. Please speak, Balaji.
I'm just a new coach, so I'm not very sure if this would be an appropriate question, but still I would ask.
Please.
If someone is extremely passionate by nature, but still has a very good appreciation for the Brahmachari ashram,
mm-hmm.
but though this very passionate nature of him is not something that's very conducive for properly upholding Brahmacharya life.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice for?
If someone has a passionate nature but still has high appreciation for Brahmachari life, what should he do? He must make friendships with Brahmacharis and Brahma and Brahmanas, because then some qualities will come into him which he has not on his own. You know that by association there is a transferal of qualities. That's why we associate. We want that the qualities of the person whom we associate with come to us. That's why we associate with the holy name also as much as possible. The spiritual qualities will enter us in this way. Association is very good. And this opens my last point, but I want to talk about it in a minute. Balaji, I will say this for now, and you will hear more about it in a second. Yes? Here's our last question for today. Your good name again? Vyasa Suno Prabhu. Oh, trying to serve.
You know, some of the devotees, what do you personally think about when somebody is obliged to uphold the spirit of God? In Matpa Sampada, I have Patriya Maharaj said that it's
for them before they accept into Brahmacharya or something else. First, get knowledge from astrology. And if it's bad, they don't allow them to take sannyas, for example, or to be online. So they advise him to marry or to
Our Vyasa Suno's question is, what do you feel about astrological advices in regards to one's ashram? In Madhva Sampradaya, one is not allowed to become a brahmachari or sannyasi if the astrological chart is contraindicative. I believe that every single man should be for some time in the Brahmachari ashram to get his spiritual foundation strong. I believe that is a great blessing to enter the Brahmachari ashram, and it's almost in, especially when you join a spiritual movement and you have all this energy fixed on spiritual advancement, that is all what you care about, when at the moment you join, that's really so prominent in you, then it's very necessary to be in the Brahmachari ashram. It would not be good to look in the charts and find out that maybe he will later be married, because now he has that focus on spiritual life. Later, after some time, he will have to ask the question, how do I live my life, you know, with spiritual interest. But in the beginning, the focus is clearly there, and we should support everyone by giving them some time in the Brahmachari ashram. Either they come to the ashram or they practice. If they are not suited for ashram life, they can practice brahmacharya at home, you know, not get involved with the opposite sex. That's usually, that is what I think from my own experience with many people is wise. Now, after some time, I feel there should be a sincere discussion about what way the person should go. Either a discussion between him and his guru, or a discussion between him and like-minded friends, and so on. And then that course should be followed. So if in that time where there is discussion, one feels it's good to look at the chart, it is, I believe, permissible, provided you find a good astrologer. There are so many quacks in the astrological department. And always keep in mind, astrology is not always 100% true. I now know that at 65 years, Yoga Kishore Prabhu, you will be amazed to hear this, a 65 years old Madhva Sannyasi, one of the pontiffs. Pontiffs means they're the eight mats, and they take turns in worshipping the beautiful Krishna in the Udupi mat, and all of them are really hand-picked in a very young age to enter the Brahmachari then sannyas career. But also this person had a downfall. Downfall means he became involved with a Mataji and later married him. Then we asked the Madhvas, what do you think about it? Is it a big scandal? And they said, oh no, this happens in Kali Yuga. It's not, it has happened before. It's not. We felt relief when we heard this, because our ISKCON history is also not the most glorious history in terms of the sannyas ashram. It is little glorious, but not the most glorious. So
What is your personal opinion about this? Would you personally, do you advise me to astrological charts?
If I personally advise to go to astrology charts, I would really say it depends on the person who is contemplating to take help or not. And it depends on the astrologer. I do know that Srila Prabhupada used a lot of astrology, and I believe it's a very relevant Vedic science. But I do keep a little... The astrologers of today are not so convincing. This is my feeling. Therefore, I never recommend. But if someone wants to go, I tell them, only ask the astrologer, is it very clear what you see? Or is it your interpretation? Some things are quite clear. See, I myself, by my astrology, I should be dead with 30 years, and I'm still living. And I can also still dance. You might see. Today, maybe. If some mercy is coming. So that is my personal opinion is a little skeptic, because I am a spiritual person and I'm a little skeptic with the material fields. This is just you ask for a personal opinion. But please don't let my opinion skin. If you want to go at a certain time, when it is a question and you just don't know and you need different perspectives, it is a relevant perspective. Let us not let us not think, we are most spiritual if we don't take any help from these Vedic sciences. It's not correct. It's not correct. There is good usage of these Vedic sciences. But we always see it with a mixture of salt. Prabhupada would take astrological advice, but then he would sometimes throw it over. You know, it would say, today is not a good day to travel. Prabhupada had taken this taken counsel, is today a good day to travel? And the astrologer said, no, Prabhupada said, for service of Krishna, we travel today. You know? It's something you might consider. I have taken once an astrological chart in my life to find out a little bit about to get some idea of the personality I'm dealing with, not to make decisions. I just wanted to know a little bit better how do I work, you know, what kind of person am I. Person means the conditioned personality. And I thought it was very helpful. But there were points which I immediately recognized they were true. And some other points I said, they might have been true if I would not have become a devotee. They have now been changed and are a little relative. You have to use your own intelligence. Just like if someone offers you a meal. You know, some preparations are just not suitable for being taken now. You know, my at the moment I have not such a good digestion, so I better don't take 50 prakoras, but only one. You know it, even though there may be 50 prakoras available. So it's a little bit like that. You have to use your own discretion and so on. So I want to end now this part of the Brahmachari seminar, by making one last statement. Please listen very attentively. It's very important. It might save your Brahmachari life. My dear Brahmacharis, my dear 1 week Brahmacharis, my dear lifelong Brahmacharis, whoever hears this seminar, a very important help which you can get in your brahmacharya ashram comes from friendships. Brahmachari friendships. It's so absolutely important because you always get the qualities from the person you associate with. If you just don't associate with any women, but you also don't associate with any brahmacharis, you will not develop so easily personal qualities. In brahmachari, see, we Westerners are sometimes loners or hermits. Loners is maybe the word. Loners means maybe someone who maybe wish to have friends, but he somehow doesn't get it together. I want to more say some of us are hermits, but especially in Vaishnavism, association with devotees is so much stressed. And if you wish to be a brahmachari, you need brahmachari association. It's very, very necessary, and you need to give your best. Association with brahmacharis can also sometimes be quite strenuous. Ooh. Do you know how they make jewels ready for? They put all the jewels in a bag and then carry the bag for half a year. And because they move the jewels, they rub each other in such a way that all the sharp edges come away, and then it's somehow easier to give them the final cutting. Huh? So when you live in an association, your sharp edges will be challenged. Where you are a little intolerant, Hare Krishna. Where you are a little proud, ooh. Where you think my will should work. But that's good, because only when you go in such association, your natural spiritual light can come out. Don't run away from association. Have a nice friendship circle amongst brahmacharis, where you can reveal your heart and practice all these techniques which our Rupa Goswami has given us. Tadati, pratigrinati, so on. Also, I would like to recommend you to look at the list of rules for the brahmachari ashram, which is most probably at this moment the most successful brahmachari ashram in terms of training and giving association. It's the ashram in the Radha Gopinath Mandir, and they have 10 brahmachari rules, and I would have loved to tell you this. Does any one of you remember one or two rules? Maybe we can get them together. You, Yoga Kishore, could you please enlighten us?
Very good sadhana. First one.
Very good sadhana. Then?
Second thing, associate with women only for service.
Associate with women only for service. I repeat for the... Yes. Then?
And they should have very brahminical... living.
Brahminical way of living.
Especially in the ashram.
Especially in the ashram.
Then devotees should fearlessly preach Krishna consciousness and different parampara.
Devotees should fearlessly preach Krishna consciousness and defend the parampara.
And they should not look anywhere else.
Then?
And devotees should have very friendly relationships and in the mood of servant of servant.
Devotees should have very friendly relationships with each other in the mood of being the servant of the servant.
Devotees should do singing, chanting, everything for the pleasure of only
lordships. Devotees should engage in singing and chanting, and I remember dancing elegantly or graciously, only for the pleasure of their lordships.
Others can be
Yeah, wonderful. I think Bhakta Joe quickly noted down. Did you get everything, Bhakta Joe?
Yes.
How many do we have? How many points?
Seven.
Offer puja. Learn to cook nicely for the deities and offer puja. Eight. Punctuality. Yeah. Oh yes. Then those of you, they work very nicely as roots. I strongly encourage you to approach Yoga Kishore Prabhu, and then he could maybe be so kind to make photocopies for you, isn't it? Yes, yes. Please make one for me, Yoga Kishore Prabhu. Mm-hmm. So we have eight, there will be two others, and you will find them out. Let me thank you very much for your kind attendance. And please be so kind to repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namo Namaste.
Namo Namaste.
Tejas
Tejase.
Avir Avibhava.
Avir
Avibhava. Vrajadangstra Kamashaya Randaya Randaya Tamograsa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam
Abhayam
Atmani Bhuyeshta Om Shom. Hare Krishna. Our prayer to Lord Narsingadev. It's a beautiful prayer. My dear Lord, please appear in my heart and vanquish the demoniac-like desires for material activities in my heart. Very good. Okay, so thank you very much. Let us please end here because we still have a long day and many things are happening. We need also some time to think and maybe walk and chant and so on. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Mahisagar Vaisi.